Gary Burton learned to play the marimba and vibraphone from a teacher in the little town of Anderson, Indiana. When his family moved away from Anderson, he was left to teach himself. It all started when he was only 6 years old, practicing the scales.
It would have been pretty slow and careful, I think. Nowadays, if I would practice them, which I actually don't anymore, but if I did, it would be faster and smoother. Like so.
At 61, Gary Burton is called one of the best jazz vibists around. Using four or more mallets to create chords and colors, he set off a small yet potent revolution for the instrument. He's collaborated with the likes of Stan Getz, Chick Corea, and Pat Metheny. Along the way, he has won 5 Grammy Awards. Burton made his way from Indiana to Boston, where he studied music and devoted his life to jazz recording and performing. For the last 3 decades, he's helped to shape the musical careers of young men and women at the Berklee College of Music in Boston. His latest recording is called Generations. Earlier this week, Gary Burton stopped by the studios of WGBH in Boston with his vibraphone.
Hi, Cheryl. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Mm-hmm. Well, you spent the last 3 decades at the Berklee College of Music as an instructor and as a dean and as the CEO of the college. You're leaving to concentrate on performance. How has your experience at Berklee changed the way you think about music?
Probably 2 things have really influenced me in my years in education. One is it's kept my mind open to new possibilities. There's always the tendency to become kind of isolated in your own music, in your own group of friends that you play with. And being at the school where I'm surrounded by lots of great musicians as well as young, talented ones, new ones coming in every year, it keeps me open to new approaches to things, new ways of playing. And I know that's had a very positive effect on my own music. I fear that as I get older, that I'm going to end up just sort of stuck in a rut playing the same things all the time. But then I say, well, as long as I keep young players around, I'll probably be able to avoid that. That's my wish.
Okay. Well, would you play something for us?
Sure. I'll play a piece that I played with Stan Getz, which is called O Grande Amor. It's by Antonio Carlos Jobim, the famous Brazilian composer.
All right. O Grande Amor by Antonio Carlos Jobim, played by Gary Burton. That was wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, as I mentioned, you began your musical career in the small Midwestern town of Princeton, Indiana. Were there a lot of musicians there?
Not really. And still, it seems amazing to me that I ended up going into jazz music, having grown up in a farm town, essentially. I tend to joke that the only other musician besides me in town was the church organist. I left the day I graduated high school because I was so anxious to get out into the world where I could find a music scene, and that's what brought me to Boston and to Berkeley.
Uh-huh. Well, I understand when you were still in that little farm town that you performed with your family. What kind of music did you play, and what did everybody else in the family play?
Ah, well, you've actually done some research. I didn't know anybody knew about that. My family had kind of a family band. We entertained. We played a lot of things like church social events and Kiwanis Club meetings and that sort of thing. One by one, the three children in the family had started taking music lessons, and my father had always wanted to play a musical instrument, and so, frankly, I sort of taught him enough of playing the piano that he could join in with us. So
you taught your father.
Yeah, I did. And we did kind of novelty music. We had comedy routines, and I played Flight of the Bumblebee with a blindfold on. I tap danced while I played. So we put on kind of an hour-long vaudeville show, really. But, you know, it turned me into a musician. I learned how to arrange music. And, you know, without realizing it, I had become a working musician.
Do you remember the first tune you ever played?
It was called Parade of the Wooden Soldiers.
Huh.
And I remember, you know, working on it for several weeks till I could play this. You know, it was all written out, very little beginner's piece. In fact, I was so young at that point, I couldn't really stand at a full-size instrument. I had a sort of a child-size one that my father had gotten for me.
Well, you know, I want to hear a little bit of this, you know.
Sure. I can't play the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers anymore, though. I think I've forgotten it. So how about something else instead?
Oh, okay. You don't remember Parade. All right. Well, what was your second song you learned?
Now you've really got me. I'd have to move up a few decades.
All right. Well, let's go your first jazz tune that you really decided you wanted to learn how to play.
Gosh, I don't even know what that was. You know,
I didn't know this was going to turn into Stump the Jazz Musician.
You've got me there. This is, I always wondered what it's like for those musicians when they do Stump the Band on the TV shows. Now I'm getting a sense of what it's like. I probably started playing just what we consider just a blues. You know, it's a popular jazz format. I do remember when I first was trying to figure out how to play with four sticks instead of with two. Because I wanted to make harmonies for myself. The playing was too incomplete with just two mallets, which was the usual way to play the vibraphone. And so I started playing with four, and what I practiced at first was a slow blues so that I could get used to how to maneuver the mallets around.
Okay.
So how about a little bit of slow blues.
Yeah.
How was that?
That's very nice. Very nice. Well, on your latest CD, Generations, you play with 16-year-old guitarist Julian Lage. He's a high school sophomore. He was only 15 when you recorded this album. Tell us about him and how you discovered his music.
I saw him playing on a television show a few years ago. It was actually the Grammy telecast, and he was part of a group of young children at that time. I think he was 12 years old. Who were asked to play just as kind of a tribute to the importance of music education. So he was there with a child violinist and a pianist and so on. And he played only about 20 seconds. But in that short period, I saw, you know, this really seemed like the real thing. So I called him up. We had a conversation on the telephone. It was like talking to a 30-year-old. So last year, he sent me a home recording that he had made of his playing. So I called him up and said, well, by the way, who wrote the third song? He said, oh, that's one of mine. I said, oh, really? I said, what about the first song? He said, well, that's mine too. I wrote all of them. I said, really? You don't find many young talents, even if they're already pretty facile as players, who are also natural composers. So I was really impressed. And so that led to what I came to think of as my Generations project, because there was me. I was 61, and he was going to be 16 at the time this thing would be released. So, and the reversing of the numbers really struck me as reaching across the generational divide. Hmm. And then the other members of the group, my longtime collaborator on piano, Makoto Ozone, and the bassist and drummer, James Genus and Clarence Penn, we're in the mid-generation. They're just in their early 40s. So it really struck me that this was an interesting juxtaposition of players from each generation.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Burton, what do you like on the CD? We'll play a little bit of it.
Oh, well, let's play one of Julian's songs, as we ended up using three of them.
Okay.
I like the second one, which is called Early. It's actually a tango, and you wouldn't expect a young teenage composer to be sophisticated enough to come up with a tango composition, but that was the first one I had noticed on his demo, and I thought, wow, who wrote this song? It's pretty unusual and pretty clever, and it turned out it was his, and so that was the first one I picked that I wanted to put on the record.
Okay, here we go. Well, you've used a number of young musicians as sidemen, and I was just wondering, what is it like for you to see them develop and to have them end up on your CD?
It's really exciting. There's something just reassuring, about your faith in the music and in jazz and the whole thing that you've committed your life to, when you see a young, talented person coming along and growing and changing and evolving right in front of you, almost from night to night, you can see them learning new things and improving. And it's like there's this big continuum in the history of jazz musicians of new people coming along to carry the tradition on and to keep moving the whole field forward. And being there to see it in person, to watch the young, talented people evolve, is really inspiring. After they leave your group, also, like Pat Metheny started in my band, and now he's one of the biggest performers in the jazz field. I feel just wonderful about having, been part of his start in the music business. It makes me proud, and I don't want to take too much credit for his success because he's responsible for it himself. But I'm thrilled that I was there when it happened, and watching him develop during the 4 years that we played together was inspirational. And I've had that experience over and over with talented players through the years. It's part of what makes me excited about each and every gig that comes along.
Well, you've talked and written about different stages of your life, including this. But what does this next stage mean to you? You're leaving Berkeley. You have the challenge now of turning solely to performance after all these years doing other things. What part of
this is my chance?
This
is my chance to reinvent myself again. I like to think that at certain times in my career along the way, I've reinvented myself, and I feel it's time for this to happen again.
Well, 3 decades ago, you moved in new directions with Chick Corea when you both worked on and recorded the album Crystal Silence, and I'd like to have you take us out on that. But before you do, just want to say thank you so much for coming in and sharing your time and music with us.
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
Gary Burton, playing Crystal Silence. His new CD is called Generations. To hear more from Gary Burton, go to our website at npr.org. This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Cheryl Corley.